For many years now, we've relied on the lithium-ion battery for many uses. They're in our phones, our computers, some of our cars now, but they have their drawbacks as well.
Our next guest says that battery technology is one of the most important but least talked about technological frontiers, and there are some energizing technologies that could have the power to revolutionize the way we live.
Joining us now is Eric Sofgi. He's senior correspondent for Popular Mechanics. Eric, welcome to the show.
Hi. Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get into the technology, let's talk about the role of the battery. It seems like in this age of high-tech stuff we've got all around us, like we said, tablets to cars, the battery's kind of the unsung hero. How important is it to innovate at the battery level?
Well, yeah, if you think about sort of what we're doing with our devices now, they're essentially always connected, you know, either through Wi-Fi or, you know, cellular links. So we're always sort of pulling data, you know, or pushing data. So these things are sort of more active than they've ever been. But in the meantime, we're not really keeping up with that pace of innovation when it comes to the actual battery technology, meaning sort of our devices are sort of doing more and sort of running down quicker. And then we end up basically just charging them more, which actually kills them more quickly. You know, every time you charge a battery, you're sort of eating away at its lifespan. So it's a little bit, there's kind of an imbalance there with what we're able to do with these devices and then sort of how we're able to power them.
So why is it, as we mentioned, this lithium-ion battery, maybe we'll get into how the technology works in a bit, but why is it so challenging to improve on that or develop a whole new battery technology?
It's interesting. I think a lot of it has to do with durability, because we'll have a lot of interesting advances in the lab, and then when it comes to actually implementing those in the incredibly restrictive confines of a smartphone or the really, really brutal conditions in automotive, you know, with different temperature swings on the road and different sort of abuses that the batteries have to endure. That's where the problem comes in. It becomes almost like a manufacturing problem. So all the stuff, the sort of eureka moments in the lab, can get sort of killed by the kind of logistics of manufacturing.
So how does the current state-of-the-art battery work before we get into the innovations that people
are
trying to do?
So it can get a little bit complicated, but essentially what you have are two kinds of electrodes. So you have an anode and a cathode, and you can kind of imagine those sort of apart from each other. And then they're basically within this liquid conductive stuff, which is electrolytes. So they're kind of swimming in that sort of solution. And then you have sort of electrons will kind of move between the anode and the cathode, and those are kind of interacting and sort of releasing energy. And then between them, you have this other element that's sort of keeping those electrodes from coming into contact with each other. So again, it might sound a little confusing, but essentially you have two active sort of components which are gradually releasing energy, and you have to have them interact with each other, but you also have to keep them from coming into contact, or else the whole system actually will sort of overheat and it can explode.
And not catching fire is a key to what consumers want in a good battery, I imagine.
It is. Even though it's actually a very sort of very, very rare and sort of overhyped kind of issue, it is a problem. You know, it's a problem when you try to increase the actual capacity of this technology, either for sort of quicker recharge rates or for sort of more energy density. When you start to really push that, you can actually make the overheating and the explosion issue an actual issue rather than what it is now, which is kind of more on the end of fear-mongering.
And in your piece, you track one of the contenders trying to make this battery of the future. Correct my pronunciation if need be, the Prieto battery.
Yeah.
So what are they, who are the innovators there? What are they trying to do different?
So this is a very cool company based out of Colorado State University, and they are essentially making a 3D battery, or they have made it. They haven't really brought it to market yet, but it appears that they're getting really close. So I described before the anode and the cathode and those, that sort of liquid electrolyte that they're in that helps them sort of conduct energy between, and also that other element that keeps the anode and the cathode from touching and making the whole thing blow up. So this basically takes a lot of that stuff out of the equation. There's no liquid electrolyte, which is great because that's the stuff that actually does ignite. And there's no real need to actually keep those other elements apart, the anode and the cathode, with this sort of flimsy panel or sort of plastic film, which can get ruined. The whole system is in a way kind of inert in the way that you want it to be. Even though it's really conducting electricity and sort of has this incredible capacity, it's not active in the way that other lithium ion batteries can be, which again can sort of lead to overheating and sort of manufacturing issues and trying to prevent them from overheating.
Well, I love the moment you describe the two principles here in this design, or just at the local diner, it sounds like, mm-hmm. saying, hey, watch this video while your kid eats ice cream there. Hey, look, this thing actually works. That's the eureka bit, I guess. But how now, when you've got this innovation, how do you get it out there? How do you get a tablet manufacturer, an auto manufacturer to take mm-hmm. this thing seriously and put it in your product?
It's an interesting challenge that they have because this is it's a very small company, 9 people at the moment, and so they don't really have the ability to produce this stuff in any meaningful way. But they've actually come up with a production process for making these, which is actually relatively cheap, and really is interesting because it doesn't use any toxic chemicals, which also brings down the cost and makes it so that you can sort of begin producing this stuff. You can create manufacturing lines that don't require like a giant clean room sort of or huge investment. So what they're trying to do is basically push the battery technology, it's really pretty amazing. It can hold about 5 times more energy than a standard battery, and it can charge exponentially quicker. So maybe like minutes instead of hours to charge a phone to full. So what they've done, though, that I think is unique is that they've created this new production process. They've actually done a pilot, you know, at their lab and said, okay, so here's the battery technology and here's how you make it. And so it's kind of a double-pronged sort of push on their end to get a larger company to sort of pick up, again, the actual technology and the sort of way of producing it. But I feel like they can get there because one of the main issues that other companies have had is saying, here's a great technology, but we don't really know how to make it, or we do, and it's really expensive and requires huge investment. This thing isn't really like that. You can begin producing this in really small batches and then sort of gradually ramp up.
Eric, thanks so much for being with us today to describe the hunt for the battery of the future.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
That's Eric Sofci. He's senior correspondent for Popular Mechanics. He recently wrote a piece looking at the future of battery technology.